When you're getting ready in the morning, then you're exercising, or when you just need a little boost, download Mindset and listen to your favorite motivational speeches while getting ready for the day.
Your confidence isn't your beauty or your ability, it's your intent. That's one thing I know to be true about me. I don't always believe in my ability or my talent. That's fleeting. Or what happens when a speech goes bad, or a meeting goes bad, or a company goes bad? I don't want to predicate my confidence on that. I predicate it on my intentions. And I'll remind myself, because I actually believe I'm a good person. And I don't think enough people give themselves credit for being good and kind, and that they give people grace and they want to contribute and help. You should generate so much confidence from that intent to serve that you ought to walk into a room and own it, not because you're arrogant, but because your intentions are so good. It's a hack to confidence nobody talks about is intention. You validate your intention with your action. I'll give you an example. One of the things right now that I'm really working on in my life, and it's not easy for me because I've lived another way. And one of the things that I've lived with a lot in my life is I think I have judged people too much and not extended enough grace. But the last 10 years of my life, man, I'm really proud of myself. I've extended grace to people. I feel better about me when I extend grace to another person, particularly maybe when they don't deserve it in the moment. You never know what someone's carrying. You don't know the burden they're carrying. It hurt people, hurt people. People in pain typically will create pain for other people. Greatness is walking into a room and shifting the energy. And the way that you do it is, to me, it's just really speaking truth to people. And sometimes in a kind way, speaking truth to them about their behavior and their conduct and letting them know that you're better than this. You are better than the way you're conducting yourself. You're better than this. Truth, I think, vibrates at the highest frequency. But when you don't address someone's behavior that's toxic towards you, you're not operating in truth. And what happens is you reduce your own vibrational frequency, and that can get worse. So the way you rise above and shift the energy in the room is actually by operating in truth with somebody. I love you. I believe in you. And that's why I'm going to tell you the truth. This thing you're doing right now, this way you're handling yourself, is so much, it's so beneath who you really are. You're capable of so much greater. If you've sown enough seeds into someone, they know your intention. I think you can challenge people. I think great people are good at challenging other people. And then if you operate in truth, man, your frequency's vibrating real high. You can shift an environment and shift the energy. I think a lot of people feel inadequate about that. Like, I'm not qualified. There's nothing great about me. Like, I've not achieved something. Or the other thing they do is they hold their sins or mistakes of their life as like weapons against themselves. You don't know about my divorce. You don't know that I did this thing I'm not proud of. You don't know I had this business failure. I've gained some weight. And so I made a commitment to get fit, and I'm not anymore. I'm not qualified to shift the energy or change other people. When my dad got sober, it changed our entire family's life. And after I wrote my book, and after my dad passed away, I woke up one night, it's like 3 a.m., and I was crying. And kind of startled my wife, and she's like, "What's going on, babe?" I said, "Babe, I just realized something. Here I am, 52 years old. My dad had been sober for 35 years. This never dawned on me." I went, "Someone helped my dad." She goes, "What, honey?" I said, "Someone helped dad. And that person changed my entire life. Like, that act of helping one person, the ripple effect is I'm his son, and I've been blessed to reach millions of people around the world. That person doesn't know that helping my dad changed millions of lives." And she goes, "My gosh, that's incredible." I said, "That's not the most incredible thing. The most incredible thing is, what qualified that man to help my dad, who I didn't know who he was at the time?" She goes, "I don't know." I said, "Not how stupendous, not his amazing achievements. What qualified him to help my dad was that he was also an alcoholic at one time. He was a drug addict. He lied. He lived in the shadows. In life, it's not that you're better than these people. It's that you can help people that used to be like you, that you used to operate in a way that didn't serve you. Maybe you behaved in a way that wasn't conducive with your character. Because of that, you're qualified to help people that are operating that way. So you're immensely qualified in life to shift other people if you're willing to be vulnerable and reveal your imperfect." You don't connect with anybody by going, "I'm amazing." That's not the truth. It's you're revealing your imperfections that connects you with people. You were born to do something great with your life. And when you were a little boy or a little girl, there was probably one person who made you feel that way. And you ought to give yourself the gift right now of, who is that person? When you're a little girl or a little boy, they made you feel special. And there's probably only one, maybe two. Maybe it was your parents or your grandmother or grandfather, a coach, a religious figure. There's someone that was in your life and you felt something about you because of the way they looked at you or spoke to you. And the amazing thing about that is they were right. Honor them with who you become. Honor them with the life you build. Honor them with the choices you make. And take that belief and use it as fuel in your life to have some strength and confidence to shift other people's lives.
Your identity, your personal belief in yourself. Your identity is like the thoughts, beliefs, and concepts you hold to be most true about you. You've developed a false belief system in yourself of what you need to know to take action. And so successful people are willing to step into the unknown and the unprepared more than people who are unsuccessful. So procrastination is really saying, I got to know a little more. I got to prepare a little bit more. I got to get a little bit more ready, a little bit more ready, a little bit more ready. And you keep raising the readiness quota to a point where you never take action. And so you got to get to this point where you're like, I'm going to get into the room. I'm going to start to write that paper. I'm going to start the book. I'm going to get into that and I'll figure it out when I get there. And most people that are successful have this internal belief system that I don't need to know everything to take action. I just need to know enough to get in the room and I'll figure it out from there. And there's really three things, whether you believe in whatever your spiritual beliefs are. But if I was the adversary or the devil, what would I do to try to get you off track? There's really three things. The first thing I would do is I get you to doubt. Three D's. I'll get you to doubt. The second thing is I'll get them discouraged. I'll have a real critic. I'll have some hits. I'll have them have a miss or two. Swing and a miss. And the third thing, if I can't do that or I'll do both, I'll get them a bit delusional. Delusion is believing something's worse than it is or better than it is. And I get you magnifying something to believe that it's a far bigger problem than it is, far more dramatic than it is. And so those are the three D's. And so it's doubt, discouragement, and delusion. And what I try to do is when I see them showing up, I go, I know exactly what this is. This is the negative coming to get me. This is trying to get me off course in my dreams and my vision and my contribution. And I am not gonna let other people be cheated because I doubt and I'm discouraged and I'm delusional. And so I really focus when those things come up and I identify them when they're there and I root them out because I know where they're coming from and they're not coming from good. They're not coming from God. They're not coming from high vibrational frequency. They're coming from the worst of the worst. And so I absolutely rid them out when they show up. When someone's really successful, what are you working on? I go, usually their identity or their confidence. It's usually those two things. And their identity is the more important thing. Now, the other thing that happens is for a lot of people with their identity is they'll attach their identity to the external, to their beauty, to their performance, to their career. And then when they lose that career or they lose that NFL football career they've got, then they don't know who they are without it. So this identity should be deeply rooted in who you are, not just what you do. It's a very dangerous way to live your life. When your identity is tied up in what you do as a rather than who you are, you're in a very dangerous place. Because if it's tied to those things and then they don't exist, you're completely lost without them. There's not a lot of depth to that identity that is long lasting when it's attached to what we do or what we look like or what we've achieved. I just met someone the other day who I knew immediately they lacked a strong identity because they immediately just resumed me. I did this, I did that, I achieved this, I was written here, I was that, and I went, I actually stopped them, but I said, you know, I really like you. I like you. What impresses me is you, who you are, your kindness. She's brilliant, by the way, this woman too. You're so brilliant, you're so kind. That's your identity. Your identity isn't your MBA. Your identity isn't your career. That's not your identity, but they've linked it to that. And it is a dangerous way to live your life, and it's not a deep way to live your life. A deep way to live your life where you can make impact in multiple areas is to root your identity in who you are, those intentions, the things that you believe to be true, your character, the way you conduct yourself, your value in life. That's where identity is deeply rooted, not in the external. It's okay to be proud of your degree or your career or your company. That's different. Being proud of something and having a sense of, you know, gratitude for what you've achieved, that's great. But when you link your identity to it, you're in a dangerous and shallow place. I'm conscious of something I think most people are oblivious to, and here's what it is. You are always making people feel something. Most people aren't aware of this. No matter what, you're making them feel something. It could be they could feel important and needed and loved. They could feel slighted and invisible. They could feel that you're demeaning to them, but you're making them feel something. So I try to really focus on my intentions. I love being around confident people, but they have these high doses of humility, which keeps them humble. It causes them to still want to learn and grow. They don't think they know everything. Those people last the longest in business and in any endeavor. Same time, if somebody doesn't have a lot of confidence, you feel like you're carrying those folks, your friends, through life all the time. And I think to some extent, there's this wiring that happens when you're a child. And so some of the wiring I've recently discovered, I had Bert Kreischer, the comedian, on my podcast, and it sort of came out of me when he was there. Bert's a very well-known drinker, and it's almost a joke about how much that he drinks. And I asked him, I said, Bert, what kind of a husband or father do you think you are? And he said, I think I'm a 10 out of 10. And I think he is. And I told him, I said, you know, I just discovered something about myself, brother. And it was that my dad's drinking. It wasn't just that I was worried, you know, is he going to get in a fight? Is he going to be mean? Or mom and dad going to disagreement? I said, what happened was I worried about my dad. Is he going to come home tonight? Is he safe? Is he in danger? And that wired into me as a little boy, the neurology, the pattern of worry and fear. And so as I've gotten to be an older grown man, I've uncovered that the last year or two. I have a pattern where I have a tendency, my emotional home, so to speak, as I go back to worry and fear. And I don't want to live that way. And so I've been working on unwiring that. That's the thing I've been working most on my healing journey is, you know, it's okay. Everything's going to be okay. I'm blessed. I'm favored. And it's undoing that wiring of worry and fear, because we all have an emotional home. We all have three or four emotions that no matter what happens in a given week or month, we're going to get it. So if your emotional home is anger or worry or fear or frustration, no matter what the external conditions are, you're going to find a way to get your hit of it. Conversely, if your emotional home is peace or equanimity or bliss or ecstasy, passion, focus, you'll find a way on a regular basis to get that emotion that you're familiar with, because we're wired for it in our bodies and in our minds to be familiar with those emotions. So I just chose, what are the emotions I want? Do I want to live in worry and fear? Even though my external life is so great, I still have a tendency to worry and live fearfully. How do I want to live? I want to live in peace. What I've really learned to do is to choose things in my life that both are productive, but that also give me a sense of contribution and joy.